You know, here on the BPP radio show, we talk for, roughly 2 hours a day.
I would argue that there's a fair amount of listening.
There is some listening. It's mostly music.
We let other people talk.
You talk.
There's some music.
I listen.
I've got an internal monologue.
Yeah.
But you know, even during the breaks we talk.
We do. There's so much talking. But we don't talk nearly as much as all y'all out there in the BPP universe. You know who you are. You people talk all day and all night, all the time. Here to help us wade through those conversations is the BPP's very own web editor, Laura Conaway.
Now I know it's official.
Good morning.
Music. Hey, Laura.
How are you guys doing today?
We're doing well.
Yeah, me too. I've been turning on lots of comments. People are all over this thread we had about race yesterday.
Yeah.
It started off with this segment about a white person's nightmare, which is apparently seeming racist. This Northwestern professor, Jennifer Richardson, just wrote this study. And basically, she says, for a lot of people, it's a real fear.
People are concerned about appearing prejudiced, and some people respond with a lot of anxiety. And what we're arguing is that this anxiety then precludes the very diverse encounters that would lead people to actually become less biased.
Meaning that people are so freaked out about it that they actually will avoid interactions with people of a different race.
I have an example of that.
True.
When you said a white person's nightmare, something immediately flashed to mind. And
okay.
Often I'm the kind of guy who would say that thing. But for fear of appearing racist, I didn't say it. But I'm going to say it now, and you could judge if I'm being racist. Say a white person's nightmare.
Do you want me to just say it?
Just say a white person's
nightmare. A white person's nightmare.
Like Rush Hour 4? That's all I'm saying. You see, it's popular.
You.
Chris Tucker. It's more a Chris Tucker.
You can chime in on our blog at npr.org/Bryant Park.
All right, so I'm going to give Marcus a chance here to say something. He's a commenter. He came in, and basically, I don't think he's really buying the results of this study, or at least he's not feeling too sorry for anybody who's in it. He writes, "It seems many whites just have a difficult time accepting that racism exists, or maybe they just don't care."
And another listener, AY, writes, "I really wanted to comment on this, but after three tries at not sounding racist, I gave up. There really is no freedom of speech when it comes to white individuals talking about real or perceived concerns they have about blacks." That might be a bit of self-censorship on AY's part.
We posted it.
As opposed to freedom of speech. That's right. We posted it. He could say that. Say whatever he wants.
I was struck by this guy, Carlos, who comes in and says that different parts of America feel like entirely different countries. He says, "Diversity is not a part of America as a whole. We have to be patient with each other, and with time we'll get to know each other and trust each other." Seems kind of sane to me.
Yeah, I like the ones that are not as, like, who could disagree with that? You know, with time, we have to be patient.
Right.
But I like somewhere between that and the guy saying, everyone's so racist. I like a little bit edgier, but constructive.
A bunch of people came in and said they weren't sure what words to use. And one word that came up for me, actually, in dealing with the text of the story is Caucasian.
Yes.
Caucasian is a word I don't necessarily know that I can use. Sorry, I'm using it again. Caucasian. But I mean, seriously,
unless
can you
you're
say
like,
Caucasian?
Why?
Unless
why?
You're a cop.
I don't know,
if you're a cop describing the suspect was 5'8" and Caucasian.
But, right, exactly. Somebody
it's
wrote
antiquated.
In and said that he and friends at work had been trying to decide whether you could describe, whether you could use the word Jew as an appropriate word if you're not Jewish, because he feels more comfortable saying Jewish people. But we do say Muslims, Christians.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Woody Allen has a good joke about that. When asked, "Are you a Jew?" he says, "Jewish."
Right. There you go. We also had a lot of fun with the baby picture yesterday. Allison Stewart sent a picture of her new little bundle of, let's just say, hollering. He's red-faced, poor baby Ike. His hands are clenched. His eyes are squeezed shut. And we asked listeners to take on the challenge of writing a caption for this. And basically, what was that baby trying to say?
Laura said the baby was trying to say, "I want teeth, damn it."
Certainly hasn't got any.
Joe wrote in and said, "Will the Democratic primary ever end?"
Kind of a theme there. Matthew comes in and says, "Twitter is too slow."
Maura writes in and says, "Leave Hillary alone."
And Janine wrote, "Help, where'd my mommy go? I can't see. Oh, wait a minute, my eyes are closed."
Uh-huh. It's so hard to be that young, you know? In the second hour, just want you guys to know I'm going to go out there. What I'm going to do right now is put together pictures from this guy's work, Paul Soseski.
Yeah, I talked to him.
He is the artist in residence at the San Francisco garbage dump, and we're going to put some pictures of his work on the blog. Also worth noting, PC World just named NPR.org as one of the year's best products.
Ooh.
We're at number 23, which puts us just behind Safari. And just ahead of Photoshop CS3.
Also, could I plug? I saw Ian's slideshow on the branding thing. That was a great slideshow.
That was pretty cool.
I enjoyed NPR's part of that. Brand tags. It's a good slideshow.
Part of what makes us so good.
I talked to my wife about it, and she found it interesting, which is actually a pretty high bar.
Web editor Laura Conway, thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
Go to our website. Check out all that good stuff we just talked about at npr.org/Brian Park. And this does it for this hour of the BPP. I'm Rachel Martin.
And I'm Mike Pesca. This is the Brian Park Project from NPR News.